Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you in the middle of a 3-1 ball game. And we have got David Robertson on the mound. One out, I believe, now two outs, two straight strikeouts by Robertson in the top of the eighth inning. Rangers trying to win their third game in a row. Welcome to the show. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers. And especially the Rangers during baseball season. Appreciate you joining us for your Texas Rangers in-game and post-game content. A lot of options out there. We appreciate you coming back each and every night to talk it all out. Wins, losses, the good, bad, and the ugly. And here we go. We're enjoying a 3-1 Rangers lead at the moment. Just to give you a little bit of a recap here, Adolis Garcia going yard in the bottom of the first inning. Three-run shot, and that has been all the Rangers have needed offensively in this one as Zach Neto singles on a line drive to center field. So the Rangers now dealing with a base runner with two out, and up to bat at the moment is Shanuel. So we'll see what happens here, see if the Angels can make things interesting. Obviously, we hope not. But so far, the pitching has been dominant for the Rangers. Cody Bradford, my goodness. Cody Bradford absolutely loves pitching at Globe Life. Dude has, I think, near a 250 ERA pitching at Globe Life this season. Crazy enough, it's like in the mid fours or maybe even high fours when he's on the road. But when Cody Bradford is at Globe Life, he feels unhittable. And tonight, the stat line on Cody Bradford, six innings pitched, two hits, one earned run, two walks, four Ks, lowered the ERA to 305 on the season. So four base runners allowed by Cody in six innings pitched. He just continues to pitch masterfully. And I'm so excited for what he is going to bring to the table for the Rangers rotation in 2025. Last seven games, a 2.88 ERA. The guy is just in such a good way right now. And David Robertson is going to strike out the side here after allowing the two-out single. So Robertson makes quick work of the Angels, allows one hit, strikes out three. And we'll be heading to the bottom of the eighth now, with Josh Smith, Adolis Garcia, and Nate Lowe coming up to bat. Back to Bradford here. Let's keep talking, Cody. So, Cody, in his last seven starts, 2.88 ERA. 40 innings pitched, 37 strikeouts, .89 whip. Last three starts, Angels, Athletics, Guardians. He has not given up more than two earned runs. And I'm going to look at his game log even from before that Guardian start, see if I can get you even a little bit further back. Against Pittsburgh, he went seven innings, three earned runs before the Guardians start. Against Minnesota, six innings, two earned runs. Against New York on August 10th, he went five innings, one earned run. So, look, Cody Bradford is on one of those streaks right now. And like I said, I couldn't be more excited for 2025, the rotation. You figure Cody probably factors in right around that three spot in the rotation, assuming Evo and DeGrom both back, both healthy. So I'm really excited for Cody, and what a great game from him tonight. So got to start there with the big lead. Leclerc came in after Cody, made it very interesting right away. So Leclerc comes in, I believe it was the top of the seventh inning, and Leclerc, man, never a doubt, as we say, gives up the walk right away to Joe Adell. Brandon Drury singles so quickly, runners on first and second, nobody out in a two-run game. Leclerc then gets LeBlanc striking out swinging and then gets Matt Tice to ground into a double play. Leclerc, just one of those guys that has to feel a little adrenaline out there on the mound, has to have some base runners to really lock in. I hate it. A lot of Rangers fans do as well, but, you know, when you get out of things and when you're able to work out of the jam and get out of the inning unscathed, there's not a whole lot more you can say. He got the job done. So always interesting. Put a tent on the circus, insert some other punny figurative line. But I'll tell you what, Jose Leclerc, I don't know if he's in the long-term plans. I do wish the guy could throw a little bit more complete innings, clean innings, not always have to make us get the barf bag every time he steps on the hill, but it kind of seems to be his MO. So right now, by the way, Rangers have Josh Smith up to bat quickly, 0-2. We'll keep bringing you the play-by-play out here and giving you our live reaction and also doing some recapping as the game continues to go on. Hey, if you would, drop comments in the chat. put your questions in there. If you got anything you want to throw out there for me or for the group, would definitely appreciate it. What's up to all my people on TikTok hanging out? We're watching a little Rangers baseball right now. We are in the bottom of the eighth inning. One out. Looks like Josh Smith was just retired, striking out swinging. So one down, and Adolis will be up. Adolis is 1-for-2 with the walk. Of course, his one hit, a big home run in the bottom of the first that's provided all the offense the Rangers have needed in this one. A pretty prototypical Rangers game in 2024, if you ask me. The Rangers score early. They get a dominant start from Cody Bradford, get a dominant performance from one of their starting pitchers, and then they pass it off to the dominant back end of the bullpen. And that's what they've done tonight. Scored 3 in the first, haven't scored again. 8 hits, not bad, right? 8 hits, not a bad output. And looks like Kirby Yates will be coming on in the top of the ninth inning to close this out. Rangers trying to get their 3rd win in a row. So at this point, we are going to keep things rolling, kind of continuing on with the recap. 2-1 count right now to Adolis Garcia. 2-1 count. Rangers up 3-1 with one out in the bottom of the eighth inning. Other notables, Marcus Semien, 2-for-4 tonight. Of course, Simi was benched, and he did not have any say in it last night in the Yankees finale. And, you know, Marcus, one of those guys that wants to play all 162 games. I lauded and praised Simi yesterday, and really the past several days. The numbers aren't great for him right now, but the heart, the hustle, always there with Simi. And Simi 2-for-4 after getting benched yesterday by Bruce Bochy. So seems like continuing on with the trend for Marcus. He's been benched a couple different times this season. It hasn't been a lot, but it seems like he always comes out well after getting the day off. And he's doing that again today. Of course, maybe some of you are wondering why Marcus Semien's getting benched. Depends on how closely you've been following the team. But Marcus, in the middle of a 10-for-61 slump in his last 15 games, in his last 7 games, 4-for-30. And before the 2 hits tonight, it was abysmal. He was hitting below 100 in his last 7 games. We love Simi, but he needed a day, quite obviously. And I definitely am glad to see him bounce back 100%. Let me keep going here. I'll get to some comments here in just a little bit. Texas Rangers fans only, what's up? We're going live a little bit earlier today than usual. I can't believe you haven't been on here when we've done live play-by-play before. Nate Lowe, by the way, just singled on a line drive to center field. We've done this a number of times. I'm really surprised this is the first time you're catching this. So we were live. When were we live? On the Josh Young walk-off? We were live for the Josh Smith walk-off against the Astros. Oh, yeah. Rangers. In-game live. Gotta love it. Let me keep going. Let me see what else we got here. Sports Shorts, what's going on? Rangers, baby. Thanks for tuning in. Looks like we got a little 2-out rally going here. Josh Young just singled on a ground ball to right field. Nate Lowe advances to second. First and second here. Jonah Heim up. Man, this would be a nice opportunity for Jonah. I sure would like to see him come through here with the kind of slump that he's been mired in as well. Jonah hitting 160 in his last 15 games, 168 in his last 30. Could really use a big knock from Jonah here. Get the confidence up, get the confidence going. Swinging first pitch, pretty much right down the pipe there. 90-mile-an-hour cutter. Jonah Heim will foul it off. So 2 down here. Rangers looking to pad the lead. Give Kirby Yates a little bit more of a cushion to work with heading into the top of the ninth inning. We're just kind of going through the recap of some of the notable players, plays, highlights, that kind of thing. So Simi, 2-for-4 on the day after getting the day off yesterday. Love to see it. Wyatt Langford out of the game now for defensive purposes. Jankowski into play left field. Wyatt was 1-for-4 on the day with a single. And Jankowski, no at-bats yet, but he will be playing left field, try and play a good defense to give the Rangers that extra boost out in the field to close this one out and send the fans home happy. Jonah Heim's going to fly out to third base here, kind of out in foul territory. Got jammed. All too familiar pop out for the Rangers players this year and for Jonah Heim. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but you know what? Jonah, I think, is just going to go ahead and need that reset. for 2025. I don't know if he's going to have that strong finish that we have been so badly rooting for him to get in 2024. Feel bad for Jonah. We talked about it last night. I don't want to keep going on and on, but I will say this. After his stellar 2023 campaign, of course, being an all-star starter, winning a Gold Glove, a World Series, 95 RBI, hard to top that. We don't want to go on and on about Jonah. It is what it is at this point. I know that's cliche, but it's the truth. I do wonder what the Rangers are going to do with the catcher situation next year. Carson Kelly, a free agent. Jonah Heim still under team control. Not sure if the Rangers are really going to want Heim to be the 162-game guy. I know if I'm CY, I wouldn't. I wouldn't feel 100% comfortable with that. I think they have got to look for alternatives to continue to push Heim. We'll see what happens. Oh, for sure. I haven't been on the in-game chat as much, but hopping on a little bit early. Every once in a while, we do it. Gives me a chance to live out my dream of being a play-by-play guy. You can watch every Rangers game for a living, getting paid for it. I do think, though, to go here, basing off of what we just talked with Jonah Heim and that whole situation, I do think it's time to get Carson Kelly a lot more at-bats. Obviously, he's DHing tonight, so they've got him in the lineup, and I think that is the right move. I don't know why he's hitting ninth and Jonah Heim is hitting seventh. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think Carson Kelly having a much better season hitting the baseball than Jonah Heim. I mean, not like leaps and bounds out of this world, but I think that Carson Kelly's a better hitter than Jonah Heim at this point. So not sure I understand Carson Kelly hitting ninth, but they're doing some weird things with the lineup. You know, I'm trying not to hold it against Bochy and the coaching staff, but in some interesting decisions with the lineup of late. And I get it. You're trying to mix and match, trying to see what works, trying to look ahead to 2025. So again, not going to hold it against the coaching staff big time when you see some of these interesting decisions. Leody hitting above Carson Kelly, don't get that either. But good to see Kelly in the lineup. I would be just fine if they went out and re-signed Carson Kelly. I think that would be a great move. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. I don't know what Kelly is going to command in free agency. It's not like it's going to be a huge contract or anything like that. But I do think that he's worth going after. I think he would be nice to have in tandem with Jonah Heim. If you're not able to get Carson Kelly, I do think you got to go out there and get some kind of catcher that can swing the bat a little bit. I think Jonah has got the defensive side of things on lock. I know of late it feels like, you know, maybe just the overall struggles at the plate are kind of affecting the entire game. That's just my eye test, y'all. I don't know if there's a lot of stats to back that up, but I just feel like just as a whole, collectively, defensively, offensively, Heim just a little bit off. So hopefully a reset in the offseason. Maybe Rangers bring in a catcher that can challenge him offensively, especially. We'll see what happens. I'd love to have Carson Kelly back, though. All-time favorite Ranger. John B., what's going on? Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. Thank you for the support. All-time favorite Ranger is probably Josh Hamilton. I know Josh Hamilton's a little bit polarizing, but I'll never forget that home run derby at Yankee Stadium. And Josh Hamilton, in my opinion, should have gone down as the most clutch Rangers player in the franchise's history. He hit a home run in game six of the World Series that should have been a game-winning home run. If not for Feliz and Nelly Cruz blowing it, I think Josh Hamilton would have been known as probably the all-time great Texas Ranger. I know that is a debate that we might not want to get into tonight, but Hamilton hits that home run. I think he's up there in the conversation for best Ranger of all time. I know Nolan Ryan's up there. There's a lot of greats. Maybe we want to narrow it down and go hitting, but I think Josh Hamilton, I mean, look, if you would have given him a full career, who knows what he would have done. We all know the backstory, some of the demons, that kind of thing, but Josh Hamilton, a joy to watch in his prime. One of my favorite, I would say my favorite Texas Ranger. So beyond that, Michael Young probably up there as well. I really love Michael Young. Beltre's got to be up there for me. Look, I'm a little more new school. I love some of the 90s guys, Pudge, Wongon. I love some of those guys. I'm a little more new school. And obviously the guys that I just named, Michael Young, Beltre, Hambone, all those guys helped take the Rangers to a place they had never been before in franchise history. As much as we like to revel in the 90s days where the Rangers had all those sluggers, I think you got to give a little bit more respect to the guys that made it as far as any Rangers team had ever gone up to that point in 2010, 2011. And again, you give Hambone a full career, a longer career in a Rangers uni. I mean, that would have just been so much fun to watch. By the way, top of the ninth here, Kirby Yates. I know we've gotten a little bit away from play-by-play. Nothing interesting going on, and that's good news. Kirby Yates has struck out the first two hitters. Kevin Pillar and Joe Adell just struck out swinging as well. Yates, 9 total pitches, so making pretty quick work of the Angels here. Right now, Drury, the DH, up to bat. Strike one, pretty much a fastball right down the middle there. So Yates challenging Drury a little bit, not getting too cute. With nobody on base in a 2-run lead, you can challenge hitters a little bit more. So hopefully Yates can close this one out and get his 27th save of the season, 27th or 28th, I believe. Called strike two on the outside corner. Not quite black, but middle out, we'll call it. Drury's going to take a timeout after 2 quick strikes. Let's see if it helps him out. I'm not thinking it will, but take a timeout, Brandon. Take a timeout. Let's see what he's got here. 0-2 against Kirby Yates. Yates has been outstanding for the Rangers this year. And there we go. High strike three. Yates goes up in the zone. Drury chases, and the Rangers are going to win this one by a score of 3-1. Cue the I Like Texas music. Rangers have won 3 in a row, and they have now won game one of a 4-game set with the Angels. Cody Bradford, your pitcher of record. He will improve on the year to 5-2. Kohanowitz, the Angels starter today, takes the loss. 2-4 now on the year. Kirby Yates gets his 27th save of the season. Lowers the ERA to, I believe, 1.34 on the year. It's a great day to be a Rangers fan. Great day to be a fan. Rangers have won 3 in a row. That has not happened a ton this season. Rangers have won 3 series in a row, trying to make it 4. They now need one more win to ensure a split. They've got 3 chances to do it. And, of course, now if the Rangers can win 2 of the last 3, they will have their 4th series win in a row. Great win for the Rangers. It's not always easy taking care of the bottom feeders, and the Angels, I would say, are a bottom feeder. It's not always the easiest thing to do, to go out there, have the right mentality, get yourself up competitively speaking. But the Rangers go out and they do just enough. They take care of business. They did record 10 hits on the night. Look, runners in scoring position, 2-for-6, not bad. 7 runners left on base. Clearly that's not ideal, but the Rangers get a win tonight. And we've already started to highlight a few players. We're going to go back to the lineup and the box score here in just a little bit. For me, I think you got to give player of the game to Cody Bradford. I think Doley is right behind. I know Doley and the offense and homers are always going to get the headlines, but Cody Bradford going 6 strong innings, 1 earned run, a quality start, only allowing 4 base runners on the night. I got to give player of the game to Cody, followed up by Adolis Garcia, providing the only Rangers offensive output in this one. So, hey, good stuff from Texas tonight. And now you can go into Friday, Saturday, Sunday with an opportunity to continue to win ball games, win a series, split a series, all that good stuff. Look, again, we're not doing a whole lot of scoreboard watching here at Ride on Rangers anymore. I don't really think that the Rangers are going to have a legitimate shot to get this one. Although Houston does lose today. And I think Seattle did manage to win today over the A's. But Houston in a mini slide right now. Rangers now only 7.5 games back. Look, I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up. 21 games left, 7.5 games back, and the Rangers in the wild card are 8.5 back. Only 8 games back right now, but I think there's an update needed on MLB standings. 7.5, I think, is correct. Look, the Astros could lose 7 in a row, and we could win 7 in a row, and maybe we're having a totally different conversation. Miracles can happen, but with that being said, the chances are very, very low. A lot's going to have to go right. I'm definitely not going to be holding my breath on Rangers in October. It would be fun if some mayhem struck, though, in the last few weeks of the season. I wouldn't complain. Yeah, back to the favorite Ranger of all time question. You know what? I actually, when I was, let me see, this is going to date me just a little bit. But when I was in high school, A-Rod was the big signing, and we had signed him to that 10-year, $252 million deal. And I just thought A-Rod, even with his time in Seattle, just played the shortstop position so smoothly. The swing, the power, it's enamoring. We know the roids thing multiple times. We know A-Rod cheated the game here and there. A lot of people cheated the game in A-Rod's era. I think we got to be real about that. And it wasn't everybody. So we're not lumping all Major League Baseball players in the 90s, early 2000s. But that was the culture. And I know A-Rod goes to New York and kind of becomes a villain. But personally, I love the A-Rod days. Clearly, we weren't very good during his tenure. But I'm not going to shy away from it. I loved watching A-Rod play shortstop for the Texas Rangers, hitting home runs out of the yard, 50-plus homer seasons. Again, roid aided. Nobody's denying that. But I don't think anybody can deny A-Rod is a Hall of Fame player. If he wouldn't have taken the roids, he's making the Hall of Fame anyways. A-Rod, a Hall of Fame talent. Loved watching him wear the Rangers uniform. Clearly rooted against him when he went to New York. Loved watching him strike out to lose the American League Championship Series in 2010. I'll never forget that moment. But A-Rod, definitely a fan. Had a jersey. Loved cheering for him. I can't say anymore that he's my favorite of all time, but I have good memories of A-Rod, even though the Rangers were not very good during his time there. But to each their own. I know my A-Rod take is not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but growing up in high school, early 2000s, I loved watching A-Rod play shortstop, and I loved watching him absolutely mash the baseball all over Globe Life Park, the old one. Some great memories there. Let me keep going. John, going back to my Hamilton comment, amazing stretch in Texas. I hated how it ended for Hambone going to the Angels, you know, the contract. Y'all probably remember, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories, but that series in Oakland that lost the division, he drops the pop fly. I'm so upset, still upset about how that ended for Hambone. He goes to LA, really never gets totally on track. He had a couple of, average seasons there. Nothing like what he had in a Rangers uniform. So wish Hambone could have had a better exit. I love that he was able to come back. Did he have a couple? I know he had one for sure walk-off hit after he came back when he was playing with the Angels. That was a super cool moment. So for me, Hambone definitely up there. Favorite Rangers players of all time. Palmeiro, that's a great one. I always, though, with Raffy, man, I always think of him and his deposition or whatever it was in Congress with the pointing. I always think about Raffy in that courtroom. Look, I remember him hitting all the home runs as well. No doubt. I love Rafael Palmeiro. But look, that point in the courtroom, whatever he was saying, I did not take steroids or whatever it was. I think I remember that more than anything, unfortunately. Let me keep going here. Texas Rangers fans only says to each their bone. I see what you did there. A-Rod. Yeah, I'll tell you what. A-Rod for me and Hambone, probably the top two. Michael Young, Beltre, close seconds. And then there's a couple deep cuts in there. But look, favorite player, so subjective. You ask me greatest Rangers player of all time, that's kind of a whole different topic of conversation. But favorite Rangers player, easily, Josh Hamilton. Let me keep going here. So let's get back to the lineup a little bit. Anything you want to talk about in the comments, Rangers, all things from the game tonight, give me your thoughts. You want to throw a question out there, I'll be happy to get to it. But tonight, we talked about the top half of the lineup, basically all the way up to Adolis Garcia, who I think has got to get the offensive player of the game tonight with the three-run bomb. Oppo, love that from Doley. Oppo blast in the bottom of the first to give that Rangers team a first lead, draw first blood. Nate Lowe, 2-for-4 tonight, average up to 260. And Josh Young goes 3-for-4 tonight, average up to 282. Nate Lowe had a double. Garcia had the home run. Those were the only two Rangers extra base hits, everything else singles. Again, we talked about runners in scoring position. Rangers were 2-for-6. 7 runners left on base. So this could have been a little more lopsided. Rangers didn't quite take advantage of all the opportunities they had. Jonah Heim leaves a couple of runners in scoring position with 2 outs. And they had a couple of other chances early on in the game, too, that they were not able to cash in on. But look, you get the win. 3-1. We'll take a 3-1 win. We'll take three wins in a row, no doubt. And the bullpen, we talked Leclerc. We talked about the never a doubt, put a tent on the circus, allergic to the clean inning, all those things and more with Jose Leclerc. But he gets his 9th hold of the season after allowing 2 quick base runners. Gets a strikeout and a double play to get out of it. Robertson, 28th hold of the season, strikes out the side. Both Yates and Robertson strike out the side to end the game. So 2 innings, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts from Robertson and Yates. I'm telling y'all, this is the formula. This is the formula. It really is. So I really feel like the Rangers next year need to get a little bit more dynamic. But this year, it is score early. Don't score again the rest of the game. Get a really good start from one of your pitchers. And then after that, hand it over to Robertson and Yates. Only half choke tonight from Leclerc. That's right. I don't know if we can say LeClutch tonight against the Angels. I don't know. I don't know if we can bust out the LeClutch title tonight against LA. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that one. But look, he gets the job done. He gets the job done. That's really all you can say there. Liking Langford in the 2-hole. Natalie, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Look, I think that the Rangers could toy with this a little bit next year. I don't think Simi, Langford, Seager is the worst thing. If you had Corey Seager protecting Wyatt Langford, you know, I think that that is going to make a big difference. Teams are going to want to pitch to Wyatt so they don't have to face Corey. So if you have Corey Seager protecting Wyatt in the 2-hole, I don't know how willing Bochy is going to be to take Siegs out of that 2 spot. It just seems to be kind of his place in the lineup. You just really haven't seen them do anything different with Corey Seager. So for me, I think Langford 2, Seager 3 makes a lot of sense. And I think it would probably really unlock things for Wyatt Langford. I just don't know if they're going to be willing to move him out of that role, move Seager out of the 2 spot. He seems to have that pretty well tied down, but you never know. You never know. Now, at this point, we're going to keep things rolling. Keep going, coming with the comments, questions, anything you got. A couple of moves here. The Rangers did call up Fabian from the minors and a couple of other transactions in the mix as well. Nothing too crazy notable, but that was kind of the big one. Fabian called up from the minors, did not play tonight. Foscue, Ornelas, Duran on the bench tonight as well. Jankowski too, but he was brought on for Wyatt Langford for defensive purposes late. We talked Cody Bradford. We talked a lot of the pitching. Good stuff today all around. Anytime you only give up 1 run, I think you got to give the pitching staff player of the game in general. And tomorrow, I think we can kind of start navigating towards the game tomorrow and go through pitching matchups and things like that. So we have, for tomorrow's game, I think a similar start time, 7:05. Looks like we haven't announced a starter yet. Has anybody heard? I haven't been on socials in a while. I've been mainly watching Rangers, and I've been watching that Chiefs-Baltimore game split screen. So I don't know who the starter is or if they've announced anybody. If y'all know or if y'all have seen, let me know in the chat. Aldegary, it looks like, is starting for the Angels. I don't know if the Rangers are going to have any numbers against him. Angels are throwing a lot of young guys, a lot of young arms here at the end of the season, but it doesn't look like Rangers have any at-bats against him, and the Rangers have not announced their starter for tomorrow's game either. We'll see. Who would it be? I'm trying to think who they would probably go with. Andrew Heaney's got to be starting within the next couple of days, right? Probably Andrew Heaney. Maybe they do a spot start with Urania. I could see that. I don't know. Aaron, I'll come to this comment. Some reports that Harris will be shipped in the offseason. That's interesting. If that's all you heard, so be it. But I'm just trying to think what would be the goal of trading him, because you just are going to be starting Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford all the time, and you got the draft picks this year that are outfielders, the high draft picks. So I don't know. Maybe that's the play. For next year, it feels like the Rangers have a couple of different holes in the outfield. I mean, Wyatt is going to be a mainstay, but is Evan Carter going to bounce back? Is Dolley going to bounce back? I don't know. I really don't know. I personally would like to see them keep Harris around, but if they have it in mind to trade him, hopefully they can get some value, add to the farm system, or maybe they're planning to use him as a piece to get more major league help. That could be too. Tristan, what's up, my guy? Thanks for the compliment. Yeah, I got this pretty much right after Rangers won it all. Love this polo. I have a few Rangers polos that are awesome. The City Connect one, one of my favorites. So appreciate that. Great game. Great day to be a Rangers fan. Let me keep going. Follow up what Aaron was saying about Harris. Rumors that they think Fabian is the better option and can package Harris and keep Fabian. Okay, so that could be something that is totally legit. Maybe they trade him away, like I said, to get some farm pieces strengthened. Maybe they decide that they are going to give him to another team and get in return some major league talent. I think I would be for either one, but I do know that I want to see the Rangers improve from an outfield perspective. I do not want to see the Rangers trot out the same guys in the outfield next year. I have a bad feeling they probably will, but it's just not what I want to see as a fan. I want to see them go out, get somebody, at least in some kind of insurance policy, in case Carter has more back injuries, back problems, and in case Adolis does not bounce back with a better 2025. Yeah, I definitely, if you just told me, all things aside, who has a better shot at bouncing back, Carter or Garcia, I probably would go with Carter too. Assuming both are healthy, I would probably go with Carter to bounce back over Garcia myself. I think Wyatt obviously is the guy that's going to come out of 2024 with the most good vibes and just positive feelings from Rangers fans. But after that, I don't know, guys. Evan Carter, Adolis Garcia, I'm not sold, and I do hope the Rangers go out and get a little bit of extra help. Alex, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Can the Rangers get us excited one last time this season and get us close to making the playoffs? Long shot, I know. Look, there's some fans out there that really like to be right. And look, I love to be right too. Y'all see me do my pats on the back every time I call something. I try not to be too obnoxious, but there are some fans that really don't want anybody talking about playoffs or hoping for playoffs. Look, on this show, you're not going to bother me with a whole lot of differing opinions. I'm all for it, actually. I love the back and forth, so you're never going to hurt my feelings. I actually think the Rangers have an outside shot of making it myself. I'm not going to go on and on about their chances, but I got to say, I think there's an outside, very, very small chance it happens. Could the Astros lose four more games in a row and the Rangers win four games in a row and suddenly it's a 3.5 game deficit? Absolutely. But I think what you guys have seen, this is my thing, what you guys have seen with the Rangers is we get very close and then you have to continue to play well. It's not enough to just get close. So what was it before the All-Star break? Weren't we like 2.5 games out? Wasn't it like 2.5 after the All-Star break or just something very small? Like it was definitely less than 5 games out of first place. I mean, definitely probably less than 4 too. And the Rangers just totally soiled the bed after that moment. And so even if the Rangers were to reel off 7 straight wins and the Astros were to lose 5 out of 7, you still have to continue to play well the next week. And then the last week of the season. And the Rangers could do it. They have a fortuitous schedule as long as they don't take any teams for granted. Now, do I really think, again, in my heart of hearts, the Rangers are going to be playing baseball in October? No, I don't. But could it get really interesting late? Yeah, I think it could. I really do think it could get interesting late. The Astros, I haven't looked at their schedule enough to really be able to tell you. And in fact, you know what? We've got a little time. I'll look at the Astros schedule and I'll give you my 2 cents of who they have down the stretch. We haven't done playoff scenarios in a while. Astros, by the way, lose today 1-0 to the Reds. Let me go to the Astros schedule and tell you who they're up against down the stretch here. So the Astros are going to go play the Diamondbacks, a little 3-game set this weekend. That'll be a home series. Diamondbacks are good. The A's, not good record-wise, but actually one of the better summer teams. Not playing terrible baseball. We beat them a couple of games, obviously. We needed some heroics to do it. But the A's, I think, are a pretty good team. They do get a fortuitous series in about a week and a half against the Angels, a three-game set in LA. Then they play the Padres. They play the Angels in a four-game set at home. And then they finish with the Mariners at home and the Guardians on the road. I don't even understand who makes these schedules. How do you not have Rangers and Astros last weekend of the year? I mean, seriously, who is making the MLB schedule? And why did they not have Astros and Rangers play in the last weekend? I mean, that is a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer. So I don't get that at all. Astros Guardians is the last weekend of the season. You had all that drama last year with the Rangers playing the Astros, playing the Mariners the last weekend. The Mariners, if they would have swept, the Rangers could have made the playoffs. That's what you want. So I don't get the Astros playing the Guardians the last weekend. That should have been no-brainer, Astros Rangers last weekend, but whatever. Look, I will say this. The Astros have a tougher schedule than the Rangers. No doubt. The Rangers have an easier path in September than the Astros do. I don't think the Astros schedule is grueling or anything like that, but I could see the Astros dropping some games and I could see the Rangers winning some. Is it going to be enough though to overcome the 7.5 game deficit? I just don't know. My gut tells me no. My heart wants to say yes 1,000 times they can do it. They're going to win 10 games in a row and make the playoffs. I want to say that so badly and feel that and think that's reality. But I fear that is just the ultimate diehard fan in me. Let me keep going here. Here the comment says, I don't see Carter or Adolis bouncing back. Look, I definitely want to see bounce back seasons. I think Semien is probably the best candidate for a bounce back that we have. You tell me if you like somebody better than Marcus to have a bounce back year. Marcus, definitely, this was a bad year for him. You're hitting in the 230s, 300 OBP as a leadoff hitter. This was not a great year for Marcus Semien. Defensively, he was outstanding. Yes, there were some flashes, some moments for Semien this year. I think Semien is probably the best bounce-back candidate we have. I don't really feel good about anybody else bouncing back in 2025. Can't say I really feel great about Heim, Carter, or Adolis. Carter, if he's healthy, I could see the bounce back, but I just don't know how they're going to play him. Like, are they going to continue to do the platoon thing with him? I think that actually has probably hurt Evan because Evan's a guy in the minors that played every day. So now you platoon a guy, it can be a lot of pressure. You have to deliver when you get your spots against righties. I don't know. I'm not sold that Carter is going to have a crazy bounce back year either. I'm not saying he's going to suck or be terrible, but I can't sit here and say, I think Evan Carter is going to be a 300 hitter next year and just absolutely kill it from the top of the order. Look, I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he does. Look, Natalie does bring up a good point. Cards in 2011 were in dire straits. And then I think it was the Braves, if I'm not mistaken, that had an absolute meltdown at the end of the 2011 season. The Braves did. And the Cardinals were able to sneak in. Ultimately, we know how that went. Beat the Rangers in the World Series. But the Cardinals absolutely are a team you can look to if you're still needing and wanting to clutch on to a little bit of hope that the Rangers may make a little October run. Cardinals are a good example. It's a long shot, but mathematically, not impossible. What has been the Rangers' drought this season after winning it all? Injuries, regression, underperformance. Those are the big three. CY has pretty much said those exact words at different points. Underperformance, regression, guys who had career years falling back down to earth, regression, and then injuries. Those are the big three that have absolutely killed the Rangers' repeat chances in 2024. Alex, yep, we talked about Heim struggling a lot this year. Just the whole game looks a little off. Even defensively, I feel like he's taken a little bit of a step back. I mean, I'd be interested to see advanced metrics, but I just feel bad for Jonah. He's so likable, family man, great guy. You want to see guys like Jonah do well, and baseball can be a really cruel game. I hope that a reset in the offseason gets Jonah Heim back to shades of the guy that won the Gold Glove last year and was the All-Star Game starter, led the league with 95 RBIs in terms of catchers. he was the rally killer tonight. John, what's up, man? 100% Haim was the rally killer tonight. And, you know, you just so badly wanted him to come through. I was on the live earlier doing play-by-play. We went live in about the top of the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth. Haim has a chance to get some insurance runs, little pop-up, jam shot into foul territory. Look, Seager, I don't know if I would consider Seager a bounce-back guy. Like, is this really a down year for Corey? I don't know. He only played 123 games, 30 homers. Look, if I'm being picky, I think I'd probably agree he could have played better. Like, for Seager's standards, I do think that he can up the game a little bit in 2025. But I don't know if I would put him in the bounce-back category. I don't think he's been that bad, but I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. It's hard. Seager has kind of been surrounded by not a whole lot. We talked about on the show a couple months ago about how many of Corey Seager's home runs were solo shots because nobody's on base for the dude. You figure if there were some guys that actually would have gotten on base for Corey when he was hitting his homers earlier in the year, he'd probably be a lot closer to 100 RBIs than you think. But yeah, I agree. He absolutely, I think, could have a stronger 2025 campaign than what he did this year. John, we talked about Bradford. That was the big lead. Quality start. Bradford loves pitching at Globe Life. ERA right around 250 when he pitches at home. Love what I'm seeing from him. Really excited about 2025. Gio, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Rangers are getting closer to 500. I told y'all that's the goal. Can we get to 500 or can we get a little higher than that before the season comes to a close? I would love to see that. Get over 500 at minimum. And if you make the playoffs, I will die and go to heaven. Leclerc definitely got lucky with that double play to get out of the seventh. John says, after we were able to hand it off to Robertson and Yates, you knew it was a win. Agreed there 100%. And everything did go according to plan. This is the Rangers formula for success. Score early, get a good start from your pitcher, hand it off to Robertson and Yates, call it a day. That's pretty much exactly what most Rangers wins have looked like this year, save a few recently with the walk-off wins. Like I said, it's too bad we had to wait till late summer to start having some fun with the walk-offs. Aaron says, sounds like you're making Natalie's case that Langford should bat second and let guys get on ahead of Corey. Look, I definitely would be a fan of that. And when Natalie brought it up, I did say, I think it would do a world of good for Wyatt Langford. If you have Corey Seager protecting you, if you have Wyatt second, Corey three, they are not going to want to pitch around Wyatt Langford. Wyatt's going to get a lot of pitches to hit. They're not going to want to bring Corey Seager up. If you have Simi and Wyatt in front of him, I think that could be really dangerous. I think the only thing is, kind of like we talked about with Simi, is there like some weird thing with Corey? He's got to hit second. That's his spot. If he's not hitting second, you know, his psyche's a little bit off or whatever you want to call it. I'm not trying to be rude or mean about it, but you know what I mean. Is it like a thing? He's got to hit second. If not, I think hitting him third would be outstanding. If Wyatt can continue to get on base like this, I think it's a great plan. And I do think you're going to see his numbers go up with Seager protecting him. The problem is then who protects Corey? You really don't have anybody, maybe besides Josh Jung. And even Josh Jung has been a little iffy this year. Josh Jung is probably the next best guy to protect Corey Seager after that. So it's like, do you want Wyatt protecting Corey? I think teams would still pitch around Corey and get to Wyatt, just like they do it to Josh Smith. They pitch around Corey Seager all day long to get to Josh Smith. So I think you probably bite the bullet, move Corey to third, and you at least activate Wyatt Langford a little bit more with him getting a lot of pitches in the zone. And you're not going to want to walk Wyatt and then bring Corey up. So I do think this would be something that they could look at. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I sure hope they consider it. So we talked about the pitching matchup for tomorrow. Rangers have not announced a starting pitcher yet. And I said, if y'all hear anything, drop it in the comments for me. If you happen to hear who the Rangers end up announcing, if they do a little post-game interview with Boach or something like that, that would be great. Drop it in. But right now, I think you got to feel good about the Rangers' chances of having success in this series. I don't think you have to put pressure on the Rangers like they have to sweep this thing. But I think the Rangers need to just keep winning series, win three out of four this weekend, and just continue to see where you're at. If they can get a sweep, clearly that's outstanding. But let's just keep winning series. I think that is the positive momentum that we need. And then you let the chips fall where they do with Houston and with the wild card and with the Mariners. But the Rangers have 7 games left against the Mariners before the end of the year. That's going to be interesting baseball. So I'm excited for those series. Those are going to be a lot of fun. Rangers could have a really strong September and make it really interesting late, especially if Houston continues to drop some games. I'm not getting too excited, but it would be fun if the Rangers could make something of this. I'd love it. I would absolutely love it. All right, y'all. Let me keep things rolling. I'm going to scroll TikTok a little bit. I've been neglecting you guys. I say that every night, but let me see if we got any comments. Appreciate all the likes. Thank you for everybody that dropped something in the chat. Sorry if I didn't get to it and you took off on me, but thank you for your support. It means a lot. Not too much drama with the Rangers this year, Dad says on TikTok. I don't know if I'd say that. I think there's been quite a bit of drama with the Rangers this year. Now, it's not dramatic at the end of the season in terms of making the playoffs at this point, but I'd say the Rangers have had a pretty dramatic year. Injuries, underperformances. Look, if the Rangers were in a different media market, they'd be getting freaking grilled right now. Imagine this Rangers team in New York City. They would be getting grilled. Boston, same thing. Philadelphia, same thing. This team would be getting fried for what they've done this year, just totally wetting the bed and falling flat on their face in defense of a World Series title. Look, you guys know I love the Rangers. I'm not trying to dog on them or be too negative, but you know it's true. The Rangers media is friendly, nice. You're not going to get a lot of pressure from the Rangers media when you have these bad performances. So look, as a player, I'm sure it's nice when you're not taking heat and taking strays every other day from the media like the Yankees players, Red Sox, and Phillies players have to take. But I think it's probably could have been a lot more dramatic had the Rangers or were the Rangers in a different market. But I'd say the season's been full of drama this year in terms of the underperformances, the injuries, all those kinds of things. The regression. Absolutely. Let me keep going here. Baseball Network, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you, bud. Rest well. Join us tomorrow. I think I'm caught up on TikTok, so I'm going to keep things rolling here, guys. I don't think there's a whole lot around the league to go through. Phillies win their 5th straight. Braves now fall into a tie with the Mets for the last NL wild card. We talked about, and this is actually something I wanted to mention. I just remembered it looking at the headlines. Matt Chapman signs an extension with the Giants. I think that is a nice move because if you were with me when I was previewing free agents, Matt Chapman was going to be an Astros target. Bregman is going to be a free agent. I think it's probably sensible to think that he is going to get re-signed by Houston, Alex Bregman we're talking about. But Matt Chapman was going to be a top target for the Houston Astros if they are not able to re-sign Bregman. Even if they were, maybe you go get Chapman and he can DH for you, or he can mix in the infield somewhere. You can have Bregman play somewhere else, shortstop or whatever the case may be. I know they got Peña out there, but you can always get creative when you're trying to fit a bunch of bats in the lineup. So I'm kind of glad the Giants re-sign him and he stays away from the AL West. Matt Chapman, look, he hasn't been a dominant player for years on end, but he's a good baseball player, and I'm glad he's staying out of the division. So Chapman signing that big extension. The Mariners just extended Jerry DePoto, their GM. Interesting move. I think DePoto's got to be a little bit on the hot seat after the Mariners have kind of flopped after the trade deadline, but they're going to go ahead and extend him. All right, then. I'd like the Rangers to do that with Chris Young, just saying. Blake Snell open on a return to San Francisco, but focused on finishing 24 strong. So Blake Snell and also Max Fried on MLB.com free agent top 10 article that they put out. Both those pitchers were noted as fits for the Rangers. Not saying that the Rangers have come out and said or intimated to anybody that they want to go get Blake Snell or Max Fried, but MLB.com, for whatever it's worth, listed Snell and Fried as being a possible fit for the Rangers in free agency. I mean, look, I'm not going to complain if we get one of those dudes. That would be great. You add Max Fried or Blake Snell to our rotation, That's a pretty filthy rotation. You got DeGrom, Snell, Evo, Bradford, Malley. That is an elite rotation. I don't know if the Rangers are going to pull the trigger on that, but at the same time, I'm not going to complain if they do. No, sir. Let me keep going. Yeah, I don't get the Seattle move for DePoto either. I kind of feel like he's failed out the past few seasons. Of course, DePoto used to be the GM for the Angels. He was responsible, I believe, for like the Hamilton and CJ Wilson signings. So really, DePoto has kind of made his lap around the AL West. I don't understand the extension, but look, anytime you can keep mediocre GMs in division, I'll take it. No doubt, I'll take it. Baseball Network, I'll have to check this out. Instagram account, mainly for the Rangers as a fan page. Yeah, drop it in the chat. I'll put it up here. I'll definitely follow it a little bit later on. John, I agree with you. Hitting is definitely needed more than pitching at this point. I would love for them to go get a Snell or to go get a Max Fried. I think that would just put a total cherry on top of what's already going to be a good rotation. But yes, if we're being real, go spend money on a bat, please. We cannot do another season of 3 runs a game, 4 runs a game. Look at tonight. You're going up against a rookie pitcher, and all you can get is 3 runs. Tomorrow's going to be the same thing, rookie pitcher tomorrow. Can we get more than 3 runs against rookie pitchers? So I'm with John. I think you got to go out and get a bat. First base, I do think they need to upgrade. I've said Pete Alonso is a pipe dream, but if they could get even halfway, half of Pete Alonso, I think that would play. I would love to see them upgrade the first base position. I'd love to see them go get an outfielder. Go get a right fielder. Go get a first baseman. And then get a catcher that can hit and challenge Jonah Heim. That, I think, is what the Rangers need to focus on in the offseason. And there it is. We shall see what the Rangers have in mind for 2025. What CY is going to be able to do, how much he's going to be able to spend, all that good stuff. We shall see. I'm excited. Pete Alonso, I agree, is definitely not a savior. He's not the elite guy maybe that he once was back in, what, the late 2010s, early 2020s. But I think we can all agree Pete is an upgrade over Nate Lowe. I mean, I don't know if there's any denying that. I think Pete is an obvious upgrade over Nate Lowe. Do you want to overspend, though, for Pete? Probably not. And he is going to command a lot of money. This has been something that's been talked about. We talked about it on the show. I think Corey Seager eventually is going to transition to first base. I don't know when that's going to be. I do think with Walcott coming up in the minors, you got a couple other guys as well in the minors that can play shortstop. I think Corey plays a fine shortstop, but I do think there are better shortstops than him, defensively speaking, in the organization already. I think Jonathan Ornelas is probably a better shortstop defensively than Corey Seager at this point. I mean, feel free to disagree. From what I've seen from Jonathan Ornelas playing the field, I would probably put him slightly ahead of Corey Seager at this point defensively. Now, offensively, clearly not. But defensively, I do think that we have some guys in the organization that can probably play a better shortstop than Corey can. So moving him to first base, a tall target, does seem like a natural fit. Corey about 6'4". Y'all know I can't freaking stand short first baseman. The Rangers putting Duran there. I don't think they tried Josh Schmidt there, did they? Did they try Josh Schmidt there for like one game? I don't know. Maybe I'm just imagining that. But look, Corey's got the height to play first base. I do think Smith, Aaron, I was just about to say, I do think Smith is probably better defensively as well. They're just guys with better range, better arm. I think Corey is fine. I think, like I said, he plays a fine shortstop. But I think there are guys that are better defensively speaking. You do see Corey make some great plays. You do see Corey, though, chase after a lot of balls, doesn't lay out a ton. And Corey, being a little bit ginger in his early 30s, probably a guy you want to consider moving away from an athletic position like shortstop. I do think it makes a lot of sense. We'll see what the Rangers decide to do, but I think first base for Corey is a natural fit there. No doubt. All right, y'all. I'm going to keep things moving. I think we are going to start calling it. Look, I want to say thank you to everybody tuning in. Even with the season winding down with football on tonight, I appreciate you being here, hanging out, talking Rangers baseball. It's why I started this. I love getting together with good people, talking ball. It's so much fun to me. It's why I began this channel about a year and a half ago. Thank you for all the likes, views, support, comments. I appreciate you guys so much. I know I say that every night, but I really, truly do mean it. Hope you guys come back tomorrow, hopefully after another Rangers win. Rangers trying to ensure the series split tomorrow on a Friday night, wearing the City Connects. I'm a big fan of the City Connects, by the way. I know some people don't like them. Who was it? I forget if it was some of my family. I think it was my brother-in-law. He doesn't like them because they look too much. He thinks they look too much like the Detroit logo, which I guess I kind of see, but whatever, man. I like the City Connects. I love the City Connects. Maybe an unpopular opinion, but I'm excited. Friday night baseball in Arlington. Let's go get a series split at minimum tomorrow on our way to a series win. If you're not following the channel already, if you're not subscribed to the account, would greatly appreciate it if you hit that follow, subscribe button and hit that notification bell or button as well. Get up to date with all of our latest and greatest content and get notified every time we go live. I agree. Long live the Peagle and the City Connects are awesome. No doubt. Absolutely. All right, y'all. I'm going to sign off for tonight. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Have a great weekend ahead if I don't see you. But come join us live, why don't you? Let's keep having some more fun talking Rangers baseball. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.